Welcome to The Blind Drive. I'm Jeff Thompson.
And I'm Tim Schwartz.
Well, Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me back once again. How you been lately?
Well, thanks for coming on with me. I mean, I ain't getting on The Blind Drive all alone. I need someone running co-pilot with me.
Well, I'm up to the task, I hope. Good driver's got to have a good passenger, good navigator.
Yeah, backseat.
Backseat driver, really, yeah.
Shotgun, backseat driver, we don't care. We need someone.
As long as we're in it together.
In it to win it. So, topic came up that you brought up, and it has to do with accessibility on a website.
Yeah, and this isn't necessarily something that would have always, you know, come across my path. I mean, I do play fantasy sports, fantasy baseball, football, just as I know that you do. But I saw a story about DraftKings, the very popular sports betting as well as fantasy betting online service, that they are being sued by a gentleman. And I will say up front, I've seen different reports where it was an individual. I've seen other reports that say that it might be class action. So I'm not totally sure where it stands at the second of recording, but they are being taken to court. They are being sued because their online presence, their website and their app are not accessible. They are being sued because, you know, buttons aren't properly labeled. Links might not take you where you think they should, or they might be broken. There's no alt text, you know, alternative text that can describe images so that you know what's what and what's where. And so this gentleman is suing them because he is totally blind and is not able to access the site as he would want and make bets as he would want. And I thought this might be something that we should talk about when I brought it up to you, Jeff, and you agreed with me right away. So we're very, you know, in tune with each other on this, because I was thinking, yeah, this is a shame. This, you know, reminds me of a lot of lawsuits in the past, class action lawsuits in the past, famously, you know, Domino's and other companies that have had problems with, you know, their online presence doesn't match their brick and mortar presence, or their services are not matching what they're supposed to be for the Americans with Disabilities Act and other compliancy, you know, standards. And I was thinking, you know, this is a shame and it's silly that it's still happening and being a problem in 2025, but it kind of talks to the greater lack of accessibility with things, with, you know, what are our rights when it comes to accessibility? Is it a civil right, human rights? You know, should we have that equal right to access something online on a website, in an app, just as we might be able to in a brick and mortar retail store or a restaurant? And in the case of DraftKings, they don't necessarily have a storefront, you know, necessarily, but it still begs the question of, is it a civil right that whatever it is, whether it's, you know, fantasy drafting or online gambling, online betting, whatever the service, whatever the situation, do we still have the same right as anybody else to access it? And of course, I think the answer is yes. And I believe you agree with me, but I think it extends more broadly than that to just the right to accessibility, which is what, you know, when I sent this story to you, you came back right away and said, yeah, this is a bigger, just general accessibility issue.
Well, the thing is, DraftKings, I think they advertise on the Super Bowl as well. They're everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like they're a small-time nobody.
No, this is a huge company that should be compliant because they should set a standard for everybody else. Everyone looks up to them as something, as, you know, their website. And people that want to partake in what they're offering, they should have access to it. And that's the bottom line. So when you come into this, like you said, you know, the web content, the accessibility, the guidelines, all this stuff, I think it's WCAG, Web Content Accessibility Guidelines 2.0. Is where we're at today. These are things that people are supposed to meet, but I don't know if it's being enforced as much as we would like it to be. I mean, you have the ADA, Section 508.
Right.
And yet, who are the police? I read a story, and one of the things they said that compliance is for lawyers and usability is for humans. And I like that. I really like that part.
I like it. At the same time, I don't, but yeah.
The thing is, I don't care if someone checks all the boxes when they're developing a website or an app. They check all the boxes, they're done. They have this automatic thing, check it for accessibility, and yep, check, check, check. They check all the boxes. But did they ever have any blind people use multiple screen readers to access it, to use it, to get their feedback? I think it's the experience, the usability of the website or the app that is more important than if it's compliant.
I absolutely agree with that, because it brought to mind, and I mentioned this a moment ago, the Domino's Pizzeria lawsuit from, I think it was 2016, where they were basically saying, no, we're fine. This is what we want to do. We don't have to follow any guideline. If a person, you know, a blind person needs to order a pizza, they can call their local restaurant, call their local Domino's, and they can make an order over the phone. They can ask questions over the phone. And it's like, no, that actually completely misses everything that we're talking about. You know, okay, fine. Compliancy could be, I can call you and talk with you about it, but I can't just access it on my own and access coupon codes and access special deals and actually be able to compare different, you know, things on the menu and see prices and things like that. And have that full access just like anybody else. And I know that one went to court, it got appealed, went back again. I mean, it was all over the place. And some of the little bit of research I've done in the past, it's not even totally clear whether they became even at minimum compliant or not, because the lawsuit seemed to just disappear. So I don't know if there was a settlement, if there was some sort of, you know, compliancy agreement. I don't use their, you know, their services and order their food just because of that whole situation and the attitude that they took about it at the time. Plus, I have a lot of really great local pizzerias that I frequent all the time. But that said, why should it be such a fight? Why is it an argument? You know, yes, I get it. Companies, if they haven't done it from scratch, older, you know, companies are going to have to put money into things to upgrade their services, to upgrade their websites, their apps. We talked in a recent episode about, you know, Braille menus being a thing and whether it should be Braille or, you know, you can scan a code and have it on your phone. You know, printing a Braille menu is not cheap. Revamping an entire website or an app to make it accessible if it wasn't already is not cheap. I get that, but building a wheelchair ramp isn't cheap either. And they understand that. And that is the thing that really gets me sometimes. It's like, you can get somebody to understand, oh yeah, we need to build a wheelchair ramp, but they don't understand that the equivalency online could be that we need some buttons labeled. We need graphics to have a description. And honestly, you know, I've done this in a small way with maybe my own website or helping other people. And I'm sure you've counseled people on how to do this as well. It's not that it's hard to do. If you've got somebody already making your website or updating your website, it's not something that's difficult. So why is it a fight? Why, you know, and why is it, well, we'll just settle for compliancy? No, I want to be able to use something. You and I both participate in fantasy football and fantasy baseball teams, which are part of what DraftKings does. And there's been apps that I've used, like ESPN, which is, it's sort of accessible, but it's not great. I've heard that CBS Fantasy is not the greatest either. And I know both of us use Yahoo Fantasy because it's the most accessible, but it still has ways to go. It could be better. I know that there are people who have talked with Yahoo. I've actually had emails from the development team at Yahoo asking if certain things work fine or not. And so I know that they have a team that works on it, but they still stumble. But when they stumble, they still try to fix it. Just like any other, you know, app that we, you know, try to beta test for as blind people, trying to help them understand what we need. And so, you know, it's usable. It's definitely, you know, something that we can dive in and use as blind people. Could it be better? Are there avenues of apps like that that could be made even more easily functional for us? Absolutely. But that's why we have to understand that and find out what the difference is between compliancy and actual usability.
One of the biggest things that bugs me about it is when I see someone that's sighted, we're sitting together and we're talking about fantasy football. By the way, I don't play fantasy baseball. That's really weird. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, how dare you?
So my nephew was sitting there and he just was able to flip, get to these certain spots. And I said, wow, I usually have to go back and then out and then come back and then out this way. You know, I'm like centered, like one of my foot is nailed to the floor, but right. I can still do it. I can still play the game and all that. But it just opened up the window to me. The opportunity that he has is just by touching the helmets of the guys brings up their player cards when they're doing a comparison. And I was like, oh, wow. Sometimes your game is going to start in a half hour and all of a sudden you want to make some bold move or something. It takes time. And that's when it's crunch time. I could have done it on Wednesday, but I didn't know if I got the waiver wire was clear. You know, all that stuff comes into play. And you're always curious about stuff and just seeing someone else use it to the extent of, wow. I just said wow to myself, like, oh, he can just fly. If we turned voiceover off, we could get in trouble with our phone because it would go all over the place. Yeah, I don't have that same experience as him. I can accomplish the same thing, which is fine. But the same experience, I don't know. I don't think we'll be there with a lot of things as far as just the ease of navigating at will. You know, he's probably got muscle memory going because he uses it so much and everything. And just like we do, people don't understand what we're doing, but we do it. But here, there was just one situation where he uses it differently because he's sighted. I use it the way I do because I'm visually impaired and it takes me longer, not because of what I have to do. It's what I didn't have access to. I had to find a way to do it. We're sticklers for figuring things out. Where's the barricades and brick walls that we break through and we find them and we do it and we get there? You know, it doesn't feel that good that someone sitting over there can do it with one finger, two taps. And it's right. Like, how'd you do that?
And that's the thing is, can we do it? Is it, you know, compliant, as we keep saying? Is it functional? Is it usable? And if the answer is yes, I mean, that more often than not, that's going to be fine. You know, using the Yahoo Fantasy app is that example, but we just have to do it differently. And it would be so much more, you know, easy if I could just tap the same way a sighted person does.
We use it like a maze.
Right.
What we figure out, we're good mice. We find the cheese.
Exactly. I know where all the corners are, where all the little secret tunnels are, and I know where the cheese is going to be at the end. I had to memorize how to get there and do it every time. And you know what? Sometimes that level of compliancy can be fine. You know what I mean? If it doesn't take too much extra work on the user's end and you can still get to the end goal, most of the time, well, I don't say most of the time, some of the time that's probably going to be just fine. But if there is room for improvement, or God forbid that chain breaks where you're used to doing it this way and then something gets updated, something gets changed, and you go to do it the same way you always have, even though you know it might still take you a little bit longer than your sighted peers, you go to do it and it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work. And so then there's this frustration. And I think that a lot of times that we just kind of resolve to, well, it works, it's good enough. And I think that's one of the bigger questions. Like, is that the way to think of things? I can give you a real life example I just had very recently. My daughter is now 13, and she has found that she's very interested in WWE and pro wrestling. I tried to get her into it when she was really young. She watched it a little bit. I think now that she's, you know, a teenager, she's seeing a lot of these guys. She thinks they're very, you know, good looking. She likes the action too and the storylines. And so we took her to a Friday Night SmackDown here in town recently, and we had handicap or, you know, accessible seating. My wife can't walk steps very well. I don't like to walk steep steps in an arena with my cane and her navigating with me. And so we got the accessible seating, which typically would be a wheelchair or other chairs that they set next to the wheelchair, or just chairs in general, because it's an open spot and they just put in chairs. Just like anywhere that you go that, you know, get accessible seating like that,
mm-hmm.
they can either add a chair or you can, you know, pull up in your wheelchair. Well, because the three of us, none of us have a wheelchair, but my wife has knee and back issues and disabilities where she, you know, can't walk the steps, like I said, and me with my cane. It was just easier for us to get three accessibility seats that were, we just need chairs placed there. The usher, she wasn't having it. She's like, well, these seats are only for people that have wheelchairs, and none of you have wheelchairs. I don't see a wheelchair. And so you can only sit here if you have a wheelchair. And my wife's like, I have tickets. I bought tickets here. We do this all the time at baseball games, at, you know, concerts, at this same exact arena all the time, where we get these particular type of accessible seats where, you know, we just have a chair set down for us. We purchased them. Someone in a wheelchair would purchase them for themselves to use it. And she wasn't having it. She told us we weren't allowed to sit there, that she was going to save it for somebody with a wheelchair, despite the fact that we could show her our actual tickets. Now, thankfully, somebody that was head of their human services department and another, you know, lead usher or senior usher or whatever, heard this all going on and talked with us. And we actually got upgraded to a better disabled seating area. So we had better seats in the end. But that shouldn't have been necessary. That fight shouldn't have needed to happen. And if we had just settled and said, well, okay, we'll just find the nearest seat and just sit down, I guess, that defeated the purpose of getting an accessible seat that was easier and more accommodating for my wife and I. And so, you know, compliancy of, well, we'll just find somewhere else to sit in general wasn't going to fly. So it isn't just an online internet, you know, app type of thing. This happens all the time, every day. It's just getting people to think about it and understand that there are different ways that some people need to do things.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that a popular, a lot of people know, if you're into sports, you probably heard about DraftKings. I'm glad that this is getting a little bit of traction by the courts. And it'll get some attention that a lot of other companies, a lot of other things will, how's our website? And the thing is, these websites are not made by DraftKings. DraftKings contracts with a company that does their website.
Oh, sure.
And that website should know about ADA compliancy. It should know this stuff. And all these other people that have apps made up or websites developed, why don't they just comply to a little bit of accessibility feedback with some groups and stuff? There's lots of them out there. I know there's teams out there.
It's not like there's a lack of organizations willing to help.
Yeah. I just glad that it's getting the attention, and I hope the focus goes on there so other companies learn from it and don't want to be involved in something like this. When we find articles like this, I check news sometimes. I type in queries into Google sometimes just to see what's up with DraftKings or whether there's accessibility events here or there. I'll just do some searches and stuff like that. But then I got thinking, where do we listen to podcasts or articles and newsletters? Yeah, one of the things that I read on a weekly basis is the newsletter Top Tech Tidbits, and you can find that and subscribe to it at toptechtidbits.com. And if you use your headings, you can go down throughout the different categories. One would be Apple updates, AI updates, latest podcasts, and then events that are happening, stuff like that. But yeah, I would say check it out. I read it and go through, you know, 50 different headlines there, and you can click on them and get taken to the article as well. So yeah, plus there's a podcast directory that you can look up all the podcasts that are out there on blindness and stuff. So it's quite a resource for the community. And that arrives in your mailbox every Thursday morning. There's another one that comes in every Monday morning, and that's called AI Weekly, which has a lot of information about artificial intelligence. So yeah, if you want to subscribe to it, go to toptechtidbits.com, and there you go.
Yeah, I've been receiving that particular newsletter, Top Tech Tidbits. I had maybe over-enunciate it because I might slip on that one. I've been receiving that for I don't even know how long. One of the people who used to run that particular newsletter was a draws trainer of mine at a position many, many years ago. And he got me into that newsletter and receiving it, as well as several others and other websites and other outlets, you know, Vision Aware, and talking to me about all the other different organizations and their websites and what they offer, and really connected me with so many wonderful services and newsletters and websites, podcasts, you know, so that I could get more in tune with what is going on in this community. What are the issues that blind and visually impaired people are talking about and dealing with, and what are the fights that we should be fighting, and what's worth fighting? Not that we have to, not that that has to be your motivation, not that it has to be your life, but sometimes it's nice to know, especially like you said, when you're like, wait a minute, DraftKings isn't accessible. Let me go do a search on this, or let me find something about this. Or you read it in a newsletter and you're like, wait, what are they talking about? Or there's a new app or a new service, or there's, you know, something's not right accessibility wise with this online store, and finding out those things so that you don't maybe get, pardon the horrible pun, but you don't get blindsided if it happens to you in real life. You know, you're out and about, or you're online, or you download an app and all of a sudden you don't have access, or it's minimal access and just not quite enough. So yeah, staying in tune and in touch with those type of resources can be very, very helpful.
When I say I read these, I skim them through the headlines. If there's a topic that strikes my curiosity, I'll dig into it a little bit. But it's part of my morning coffee on Thursday morning. And that's what I do. And I use the headings. You click on the main link, it brings you to the website, put it on headings, and I go right down the list. And if something catches my curiosity, I'll dig into it a little bit. That'll be my coffee. My coffee time in the morning is no longer, no shorter, any other day I just fill it with different things each day, in a sense. And AI Weekly, I've been skimming that to see, you know, like lately, you know, what ChatGPT is up to and expanding a little bit here and there. It's news.
Oh, that's a whole another episode. Don't get me started on my love for what ChatGPT is doing.
Yeah. Then when I want to just see what the community is doing, I go to iBug Buzz. It's a podcast by iBugtoday.org. It's a group chat call with sometimes 30 people on it, and they're all muted, and they do a topic, and each one asks questions and stuff. But if you go to the podcast, you can see in their description, they list the topics. So if there's something you're interested in and it's five down, you can go through and skim through it and come up and pay attention to it. You know, good team over there. And sometimes when the iBug Buzz is going on, I open up my phone and go find out what they're talking about and said, oh, yeah, okay, yep. So it's kind of neat thing to do. Freedom Scientific. Wow, we got some tongue twisters here. Freedom Scientific Training Podcast. And that's something that I'll read the titles, and if it draws me in, I'll get drawn in. But typically, I read the titles and I go, they have blogs and stuff. So that's a neat little area that I frequent at least twice a week, I would say. Skim through it just to check it out, see what's up. Unmute Podcast Network. They have a bunch of different things on there. Some things I'm not interested, some things I am. And when it does catch my attention, like I said, I'll click in and I'll listen. They have one where they have three tips, whether it be on the PC or on the Mac or on your iPhone. It's just random. So I just go in, see what the topics are. And if something catches my attention, I'll dig in. But it's there. It's available. Blind Level Tech. It's another podcast that, once again, I read the title, see what the topic is. I go into the show notes. I check out what's there. If something catches my attention, I'll listen. If I'm out in the wood shop doing woodworking, I'll let these things play out. It's kind of neat just to have it in the background. Whether you have a ball game going or a football game or a podcast going, these are some of the ones that I frequent quite a bit.
And for many, many years, well, now selfishly, I guess I can say this, for many years, one of my go-tos was Blind Abilities with Jeff Thompson. That's a pretty good place to go to, is a way to find out what's going on in the world. And so I know you won't say it, but I'll say it. It's a good place to go and hear people talking about just everyday stuff. No, you know, I'm not going to try to be here, you know, shill here now that I'm on the show with you, but you know what? You and I have talked about this, and that's why we're doing this together. It needs to be about getting to the information and how does it help us at that, you know, every single day level. We've talked about that a lot on this podcast. You know, what is it like being your own advocate or not? And what does accessibility look like and things like that we're talking about? And so, you know, a podcast like this is a great way to help people. And if we need to do more or less or whatever, you know, you and I are both open to, you know, all kinds of suggestions, but you know, that's what we want to do, is to be able to say, you know what? We don't need to get techie. We don't need to get nerdy. We can, but we just want to help people understand, hey, this is what's going on. This is what you can do. And hopefully this helps. Another, you know, selfish thing I'll say a little bit. I hate saying selfish, but you know, I'm hoping to be relaunching my Life After Blindness podcast and blog here very soon and expanding it. Something you and I have also talked about, you know, that I want to do for myself, because it just feels good. It's great to talk to people and hear stories and, you know, to be able to find out, okay, what is the everyday life of somebody living this life with blindness look like? Whether it's accessibility or how you, you know, cope with things or how you utilize things or what's available to you. And so, you know, at all of the things that you mentioned, all the sources that you've mentioned, podcasts, you know, I've been looking at those and listening to those and reading those for over, you know, probably 15, 20 years now. And they really do help. It really does help to try to find out, hey, what can help me and what can help me every single day? So I'm glad that you brought up all those examples, Jeff, because I think it's important to remember that there are so many different ways to get helpful information that can help you in your just everyday life.
I really do like the everyday life podcasts out there, the ones that are people putting stuff together and digging in on certain topics and stuff. Now, there's other ones. I mean, you can go to the commercially ran ones where people are being paid to do what they do. And, you know, they're going to put out content, whether there's worthy content or not. They're going to put something out. And you go across the board, like the Vergecast or all this other stuff. Those are businesses. You know, they have 15, 20 people putting together one podcast. you know, just
right.
The way it's all structured and everything like that. That's fine and dandy. They're going to be talking heads. They're going to be talking. I had a busy day when you brought up this topic. I mean, we could dive into, I thought I got pretty nerdy when I said web content accessibility guidelines version 2.1. To me, that's over the top for me.
It's pretty deep.
I just say there's rules out there. They should follow these guidelines. You know, that's about it. But to me, we could have went for 2 hours on that one topic. We could have went 2 hours on another, what we listen to and all that. But I don't spend all my day listening to podcasts. Like I said, like you were saying, the blind drive. This is just, we just pulled off the road, came down here, got the microphones out, and we're going to start up and get going again because it's the blind drive. I don't want to call doing a podcast an interruption. It's more of a sharing, a little insight. Not too many people know that I do woodworking on a daily basis. I did this cut today. I was working on a fence and I clamped another board with two clamps and I used a skill saw and I cut this. I was high-fiving myself in my friend's driveway. No one was around. It was like, that's how you do it. I mean, I taught woodworking, so I have some tricks up my sleeve, ways of doing things, but we all have these celebrations that we have when we accomplish something. Like if you learn grade 2 Braille and you're moving along real good, or if you learned a new command that saves you so much time, reward yourself, be happy, you know, be proud, you know, life's a struggle. This blind drive we're on, oh my gosh, it's like you're in a car, but you're pulling three old houses behind you or something, you know. It's like you're always have something dragging you down a little bit. And I like it though. I like the challenges. I'm bringing up the DraftKings thing is, yeah, I hope they straighten things out for people. And I hope that trickles down to other ones straightening out their accessibility, because we like to do things just as much as everybody else does. And if it works for us, then we feel included. If it doesn't, we feel like we're a victim.
And nobody likes to feel like a victim or feel like they're being excluded over, especially over something that's so easily fixable, you know, being on this blind drive. I mean, yeah, sometimes the drive is hectic and crazy and you're road raging all over the place. And we don't want that. We want it to be simple and easy. It's not always going to be. It's sometimes going to be difficult.
You can't sit in these chairs.
You cannot sit in these chairs. You cannot, you know, do this. You cannot access the websites that you want to access. You cannot access the apps that you want to. But then there are some that are great and wonderful and helpful, and people that you find that are helpful. Celebrate the wins. Consider what, if anything, you can do about some of the difficulties, and just make that journey be as best as you can make it.
Yeah. And I would say talk to your friends too, because once you all start talking and the word gets around, you know, things can change, things can happen for the better and all that. I'm not saying you have to be an advocate and go out there and get your pitchforks and go to town and make yourself heard at city halls and all that type of stuff. I'm kidding. You know, I've done it. I've been part of NFB. I've been part of other groups, organizations, sometimes tap into those people. I'm not saying you have to join an organization at all. I'm just saying sometimes there's events that are open to the public that you can go to. Conventions, I think, are open to the public. I don't think you have to be a member of ACB to go to an ACB convention. You can just go and check it out. Get out there, see what's happening, talk to people. Yeah. So no matter where you are on the road of blindness, it's always nice to know that there's other people that have driven that before, and we're here, and this is why we're here. We want to help you, and if you have any questions, any feedback, send us a message at 612-367-6093. We'd love to hear from you. And Tim, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, Jeff, I definitely agree. We are not on this journey alone, and don't have to be, and shouldn't have to be. So I just want to say thank you to everybody who's listening, and we'll catch you next time.
All right. I'll get the lights. For more podcasts with a blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com. And if you want to leave some feedback, give us some suggestions, give us a call at 612-367-6093. We'd love to hear from you. I want to thank you for listening, and until next time, bye-bye.
When we share
what we see through each other's eyes,
we can then begin to bridge the gap
between the limited expectations and the realities
of blind abilities.